Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website. It's strength with the number 4, thejourney.com. And this is program number 51 if you're listening by shortwave radio. Tonight, I have another interview I'm doing with my good buddy from the United States, Ted Heath. We've been here working with Janet and Ray Clark for this month-long crusade. He came down to help pass out tracts, and we just had a fantastic time just being together and fellowshipping and just hearing what the Lord's saying in our spirit, teach each other, and we've just had a wonderful time. And so I've got him back again in the studio. Ted, thanks for joining us again.
Well, you are extremely kind to invite me, and I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you, Andrew.
Well, we're going to continue some of the conversation that we had last week, just regarding what is the Lord looking for in each one of our lives? What does he want out of us? What is he looking for? We are going to talk a little bit more about the fruit of rebellion and what's at the core root of it. Many of the things that people are dealing with right now in their own lives is just a manifestation of something deeper down inside their heart, whether it be pornography, whether it be adultery, whether it be other types of manifestations of sin. There's a root issue down inside of our heart. And until we get down to the root issues of what's down inside of our heart, we can't cure this problem that we call sin in our life, or the desire to sin, or the desire to do what we want to do. And until you recognize, and this is where Ted came to the realization that he had a problem, that he needed help, and that in that place of humility, of crying out for help in his situation, that place of humility brought the grace of God that he needed in his life to begin to get freedom from the sin that gripped him. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this tonight and how to get down to the root core issues. Sometimes we don't get the right answers because we're not asking the right questions. And we have to ask the right questions to actually get the right answers. And sometimes we're treating symptoms instead of treating the cause. And Ted, tell us a little bit about really what you feel was at the root core of a lot of the issues that you dealt with.
Oh, there's one word to describe what was at the root cause of all my problems, and that word is pride. You know, I like to think of our sinful nature as maybe made up of 50% pride and 50% selfishness. That's the way I look at it. And, being easily offended, criticizing other people, being deceived about myself, thinking I was more spiritual than I really was. All my problems stem from pride, a lack of brokenness, a lack of humility. I even found that when I would get offended, the lustful thoughts would be much more difficult to control. And I didn't realize that it was simply because of my lack of forgiveness, my lack of brokenness, my lack of humility, which was driving almost every problem in my life. And pride has really, in many ways, decimated numerous aspects of my life, of my life. It's created division in my home at times. This is one of the things I love about the fear of the Lord. It is the antidote for pride because it has this humbling effect on our heart. I read a book by Steve Gallagher of Pure Life Ministries called Irresistible to God, and it's one of the best books I know of to identify pride. And I could read it once a week as a tune-up on the motor, and it wouldn't be too often.
Yeah, this book it's really an incredible title because it really kind of goes along with what I've been really hearing the Lord speaking to me about what he's looking for in his bride. He's looking for somebody who's not just claiming to love him. He's looking for someone who's in love with him. And what are the qualities in our life that the Lord loves? Well, he loves brokenness, and he loves humility, and he loves a contrite spirit. And for many of us, even in our spiritual state, that we think that we're something that we're not. And I found one of the biggest things that can cause this problem is even being used by God, or maybe your ability to hear from God. is that it causes a sense of spiritual pride that you think just because you are operating in the gifts of the Spirit that you're right on tune with God. But God will use anybody and anything that is willing to be used. But sometimes it causes more pride in us than it does brokenness and humility. What have you seen in the lowest line?
I mean, you couldn't be more on target with what you just said. You know, when God doesn't use us, we start feeling dejected, like a failure. But then the problem is as soon as oftentimes he starts using us because of our lack of spiritual maturity, pride can set in. We can start thinking more highly of ourselves than we should. We just have to keep ourselves broken. And, you know, gratitude, as you indicated on the way down, is one of the barometers we need to be using to measure. Are we grateful in every situation, even in the hard times? Because gratefulness and pride have a hard time coexisting.
Yeah, we're just on the way to the studio. We're driving down here, and we're talking about the one of the things that is a way of keeping our heart right is a sense of gratitude and a sense of thankfulness for everything. In fact, I look at it like the antidote for the poison of bitterness is gratefulness. That if you are grateful and you continue to keep your heart and find something to be grateful for, then it won't get you in a place that you don't want to be, which is a place where you've been offended or you're, you know, let's say I remember just times when I'd be driving a car on a busy freeway and someone would cut in front of me. Well, you know, your first thing is they just about hit your front bumper. You know, you want to shake your fist. What are you thinking about, you idiot? You know, whatever may try to come out of your mouth. But if you all of a sudden just stop and say, Lord, thank you that he didn't hit me. And you just start focusing on being grateful that you didn't get in a wreck instead of shaking your fist at the guy and yelling names. Then all of a sudden it de-escalates that thing in your heart that you want to get angry. And it's the antidote for so many times. I mean, just today, someone broke in my car and took my camera, you know. Well, you know what? You know, you just have to find something to be thankful for in the midst of a trial or a trying situation. And it gets you through it. And this is one of the things that I find that whether it be pride or whether it be bitterness, there is an antidote for everything that Satan wants to inject us with and infect us with. And God's given us the answers in his word, and yet here we are, we miss it, you know, because of our own pride, that we're not teachable. We're not teachable by the Lord, and we start blaming people. We're blaming God, or we're blaming, you know, somebody for our own problems or our situation, but we have to find a place of humility and say, Lord, hey, you got this thing under control. You know, we just pray and say, Lord, you found that the sin of Achan in the middle of that tent amongst 2 million people, you know where my camera is right now. So we just prayed and say, thank you, Lord, and you'll return it. But you got to find a place where you don't let that seed of bitterness enter your heart.
Absolutely. And pride is so stealthy. The devil, that's his primary tool. That's what got him kicked out of heaven. And pride can slip into our heart, and it can deceive us about ourselves. We can start believing things about ourselves that aren't really true, that we're a better Christian than we really are, a better father than we really are, a better husband than we really are. And it just has this devastating effect. You know, one of the Steve Gallagher quotes C.S. Lewis in the book Irresistible to God, and he says, "What turned a pink-cheeked little five-year-old boy from that into a Heimler or a Hitler?" And the word is pride. It destroys everything. And the Lord resists the proud, but he draws close to the humble. We see that all through Scripture, quoted that way, as well as, you know, suggested that way. And so it doesn't matter what we have going on in ministry. If we're not staying broken at the foot of the cross with a grateful heart, painfully aware of the wickedness of our flesh, then it doesn't matter what we're accomplishing. It's a lot of it's for naught if we don't stay broken.
I know. And I've seen so many ministries fall during the years that I've been a believer. And I've seen some great ministries just come and go. And it's like their success almost trips them up, or it does trip them up, that they begin to think something bigger than themselves than they really are, that they don't realize it was just the Lord that was on, you know, the gifting of God that was upon them to reach souls. But then they begin to use the blessing that was intended to be distributed out to others for themselves, and pride comes in and they begin to compete against other ministries for prestige or whatever it may be, but it's pride's at the entrance ramp to the path of destruction.
Well, and it's so easy to recognize pride in other people, but to be completely blind to it in the mirror. Like when our daughter was 13, I was like, you need to read Irresistible to God and you need to keep yourself humble. And I'm preaching it to her all the time. Then I read Irresistible to God and I said to myself, holy cow, I needed this 10 times more than she did. Like I said, I could read it once a week as a tune-up, as an oil change. I'll just read something real quickly out of it. It's okay. Yes. My name is Pride. I am a cheater. I cheat you of your God-given destiny because you demand your own way. I cheat you of contentment because you deserve, quote, deserve better than this. I cheat you of knowledge because you already know it all. I cheat you of healing because you're too full of me to forgive. I cheat you of holiness because you refuse to admit when you're wrong. I cheat you of vision because you'd rather look in the mirror than out a window. I cheat you of a genuine friendship because nobody's going to know the real you. I cheat you of love because real romance demands sacrifice. I cheat you of greatness in heaven because you refuse to wash another's feet on earth. I cheat you of God's glory because I convince you to seek your own way. My name is Pride. I'm a cheater.
Boy, what a thief.
Let me just share a couple of scriptures. You know, Psalms 34:18, one of our favorite. This is the King James. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as of a contrite spirit. And the Amplified goes on to say, who are humbly and thoroughly penitent. Like your heart is in this moment-by-moment repentant condition, a broken condition. That's the key to being irresistible to God.
You know, I think about, too, that in Ezekiel, when in the very first part of the book of Ezekiel, talks about how the judgment had begun and that the four corners of the land, it was falling upon the four corners of the land. And one of the things was that God was looking to put his mark on the people, but he only put the mark that those that sighed and cried at all the abominations that were done in the midst thereof, it says. So in other words, they had a broken heart. They were grieving at the sins around them. And the only way you're going to grieve at the sin around you is you're grieving at the sin that's within you, or that you have rejected that sin in your own life. Otherwise, it's okay. If you are doing it, then how can you judge or condemn somebody else? Because then you condemn yourself. So you have to have that place of compromise in your own life in order for you to not grieve at what you see around you.
Absolutely. You know, we were talking about hot buttons, and I certainly have mine. Well, if you have a hot button, then that's an indication there's pride there. And so we have to figure out a way to disconnect the hot buttons. And when somebody presses them, that we just don't get offended, that we've died to ourselves. In other words, does a dead man feel any pain if you poke him with a stick? No, because he's dead. And that should be the goal, is to die to ourselves. Because if we want to be a narrow road Christian, the Bible says that the Apostle Paul says, if anybody wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, you will be persecuted. So, I mean, that's been my biggest problem, is I have not been able to handle people pushing on my hot buttons. Why? Because pride's there.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that many times we don't realize that we have it until it's already manifested. You go, whoa, where'd that come from? And then you realize, you know, there's something still alive here because somebody just pushed my hot button. And, really many times we don't realize that the hot button's there is because we still have a place that we're living for ourselves. And so if somebody steps on or pushes our hot button, then it's showing that we are still trying to defend ourselves in some way. We're trying to live for ourselves. It's this thing that's still alive in us, that's our flesh. And instead of pointing the blame at somebody else, we should say, Lord, you know, you just exposed something in me that I don't think I'm irresistible to you right now, because this hot button, this place of pride in my own life was just revealed. And this is where we should just say, Lord, okay, I see something that I don't like, and if I don't like it, then I don't think you like it either. So help me with this. Humble yourself and just say, Lord, I don't like what I just saw in myself, and I don't think you did either. So help me get rid of this thing. Help me.
it's scary because you can think you've dealt with a problem, but then when somebody hits your hot button, this ugly thing flares up and it frightens you because you didn't realize it was there. Let me just share what James 4:6 says about pride. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Once again, this central theme that the way we fight the devil is by humbling ourselves.
Absolutely. You know, another thing too is that I see in that it says submit yourself to God first before it says resist the devil. See, to submit yourself to God, you have to humble yourself before him. And that's where the grace comes in your life so that you can resist the devil. Because if you're trying to resist the devil without a submission to God, see, all authority comes from above. And it's like the centurion soldier when he said, I'm also a man under authority, and I tell this man to do this or do that. He said, I'm a man under authority. So he recognized the authority of Jesus Christ was because he must have had submission from somebody above him that he was granted the authority that he was operating under. And this is why Jesus said, I haven't seen this kind of faith or trust in all of Israel, because he recognized that authority comes from above and submission is the only way to get that authority. And then you have authority over the devil because of your submission first to God.
Absolutely. He was willing to humble himself and submit to authority. Now he has some power to fight the devil. Let's go real quickly to 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking who he might devour. Once again, this central theme that we fight the devil, we can't fight the devil unless we're walking in humility.
That's right. You know what's interesting, too, is that it didn't say whom he can devour. It said whom he may devour. And if you think about it, it's not that he has the ability. He's looking for permission. When you say, may I do something, you're asking for permission. Not can, do you have the ability, but may I, as if, do I have the permission? So we give the devil permission to devour us by our own modus operandi that we're operating that he fell in, by which is pride. And we have to humble ourselves so that we can have the grace that we need to be able to fight this warfare, because it's the battle, the Lord's battle. And if we're trying to do this thing on our own, we're going to fail miserably because we're doing it without him.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's why irresistible to God in many ways is really, for example, is really kind of a sexual sin book. You know, True News, Rick Wiles did a wonderful program a couple of days ago on the massive amount of sexual sin in the church and in the country by professing Christians. And really that sexual sin is getting in there because of undealt with pride. That's the primary way that sexual sin comes in. Somehow it's coming in through a door of pride. You're easily offended. You're in love with the things of the world. It's always the same.
Well, I look at it this way. Jesus said, if we don't deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow him, to follow him, that we cannot be his disciple. And what it makes it very simply clear is that we must deny ourselves in order to follow him. And the biggest problem that we have in our life in this fleshly body is to live for self, that we have the desire to live for self, promote ourself, please ourself. It's all about self. And especially in the world that promotes living for self, pleasing self, promoting self, it's totally contrary to God's kingdom, that we have to deny ourselves. We're going to live in his kingdom. It's going to be opposite. You know, the down button on the elevator takes you up in right. The kingdom of God. You got to humble yourself if you want to go up in life. If you want to be promoted by God, there has to be humility and a servant's heart. And then once you get to that place where you denied yourself, you watch him promote you. I've seen one of the most amazing things happen since we arrived here, totally broken, leaving everything. God has done more in my life in the 2 years than he did in the 25 years before living as a Christian. It's amazing that this is the road that Jesus wants us all on, is the road to deny yourself. Because once you do that, he will open doors that no man can open. You don't have to promote yourself anymore. God just opens it up. He says, you know what? Now that you're living for me and not yourself, watch what I'll do in your life. So if you haven't found doors are opening up, maybe it's time to examine our lives and see, are we still living for ourselves? If he said, forsake all, go and do what I've called you to do, or whatever he puts on your heart to leave, like he did our family, you know, take him. Take him up on his offers and see what God's going to do. Because once you get to a place where you're desperate for him, he shows up. You know, it's once they got through the Red Sea, that's when the manna fell from heaven. That's when the water gushed out of the rocks. That's when their clothes didn't wear out. God operated supernaturally in his provision, and it was a day-by-day thing. And that's what I see now in my life here, is that I see the manifestation of God's hand on a day-by-day basis. It's not like a once every once in a while, like I remember back when I was living in the States. Well, that God, I saw God, you know, move this day, but today, the days now in this position that I've grown and learned how to just deny myself, that this is where God opens up the floodgates of his, of the blessings of heaven.
You have such a powerful anointing on you, and it's all because of exactly what you just said. You know, you talk about earlier, I love what when you had the conversation with the Lord, and he said, would you die for me? And you said, of course, Lord. And then he said, will you die for me? And that's a much, much tougher question, because most Christians would say, I would absolutely die for Jesus. Okay, then go ahead and do it. Oh, now that's a whole different deal. You know, we have to be honest with ourselves. Really, you know, as you said, in God's kingdom, the man that's going down is actually the man that's going up. And so perhaps our single biggest prayer to the Lord might should maybe be, Lord, break me. Take me lower where you are. The Lord is a very meek, humble person. So if that's why, if we're willing to go down and humble ourselves, that's where we're close to him.
Well, you think about it. He's looking for somebody like him. He's looking for a humble, broken, you know, contrite, meek person. You know, if you look at the, you know, when Jesus was talking about the Beatitudes, he was up there. This is my bride I'm looking for. These are the qualities, the pure in heart. You know, it's that's who he's looking for as a bride. He's looking for a servant that will go the extra mile. You know, you think about Rebecca when Eliezer was looking for a bride for Isaac. This is what he is looking for. He's looking for somebody that not only watered, gave him water, but also watered his camels. That to me is, that's the servant that the Lord's looking for in a bride for his only begotten son. He's looking for someone that will go the extra mile, that has a servant's heart, and this is the kind of bride that he's looking for in all of us.
Absolutely. And, you know, you plead with the Lord, Lord, break me. Take me lower, Father, break me. You know, it can be a little bit of a rocky road on the way down. It's not a painless trip, but the payoff is worth it. You know, I you know, got into trying to criticize and correct the church. And plus, you know, obviously there's plenty to go after in the U.S., but I got to be real careful with that too, because if it can start to cause pride to slip into my heart, then I need to back off, because there's nothing more important than staying broken. No ministry effort is any excuse for keeping ourselves broken, and we have to work at staying broken. I may not be the type of person who can handle correcting the church and also keep myself broken. A guy like you or Rick Wiles might be able to, but not me.
Well, I just, you know, when the Lord starts giving you very difficult words about your own life, you know, it's like Ezekiel. He had to eat the scroll before he could deliver the word to the people. You know, you have to eat the word of God. Whatever God's speaking and wants you to speak, you have to apply it to your own life. And that's a very humbling thing, a humbling place, is when you have to eat a very difficult word for yourself. And that's why the disciples in John chapter 6, when it says that Jesus gave them a very hard word, and he said, well, who can handle this word, you know? And it says that many of his disciples walked away and no longer walked with him. They could not eat a hard word. And you know, of course, Peter, you know, he asked his disciples, you know, are you going to leave me also? And he said, well, where are we going to go? You know, only you have the words of life. And I think that's one of the biggest keys about being able to receive a hard word, is that you've already qualified yourself to be a disciple. You've already forsaken all. You've already put yourself in a position, I have no place else to go. When the Lord asked me, will you die for me? I thought, well, where else am I going to go? You know, only you have the words of life. Yeah, Lord, I guess if that's what you want, I'll die for you. But I believe what he was trying to say also, he wants me to die to myself. Will you die to yourself? Not only will you, if I'm calling you to die for me, if that's the end result, if that's the end of the road, the vanishing point of your life, well, that's great. But will you start right now?
Absolutely. And guys like you and Rick have earned the right to give a hard corrective word because you have died to yourself. You know, when the Lord speaks to me, I do hear the Lord's voice, but oftentimes he's just trying to impart with me a new sense of woe is me. He's trying to get me to self-examine. If I always have a hard word of correction for everybody else, but I don't have a hard word of correction for myself, then I'm probably out of balance. So yeah, it's an awesome topic and we could spend hours on it.
Yes, this is a topic that is probably not one of those topics that you'll hear in most Sunday services, a hard word. You know, if the truth were being told the way it should be told, to really what God is speaking to his body right now, to examine themselves, prepare yourself. You know, the prepare ye the way of the Lord, it never stopped with John the Baptist. That word's still going out right now for his bride. You know, and when it says the bride has made herself ready, it's the same word as prepare ye. It's made herself prepared. And this is what I believe God is trying to do right now with all of us. He's trying to prepare our hearts, prepare for what's coming upon the earth. You know, it's like what you said, you know, it's not about doomsday prepping, you know, in the physical. What did you say earlier?
Doomsday prepping of the heart. That's the only way to face what's coming on this earth. And that comes through brokenness.
Yes. And that's the difficult thing, because you can have all the food storage you want. You can do everything else you think that you need for what's coming upon the earth, that you're prepared. But if you haven't got your heart prepared and you're not right with the Lord and you're not letting him prepare you, then your preparation is all for naught.
And if you need some motivation to doomsday prep your heart, I recommend you read the book, The Mystery of the Shemitah by Jonathan Kahn. It'll motivate you to doomsday prep your heart.
Well, we are living in very interesting times right now, and I think that if people will do some research right now and really, really pray and say, Lord, show me the truth about myself. Show me the truth about the times. I can tell you this right now, that you would do well just to turn off the news and just quit watching the news, because if you will hear from the Holy Spirit and you'll be obedient, you won't be watching the news, you'll be making the news. And that's what God's trying to get in all of us right now. He wants to use us in such a way that we make the news because we're being obedient to him and going out, spreading the gospel, whatever God wants us to do. And that's part of it, because he's called all of us to go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Amen. You know, sometimes I think the more I know, the more I realize I don't know anything. But the one thing I do know is we got to stay broken.
Yes. Ted, thanks so much again for being with us in the studio. I know you're heading back. You got an all-night bus ride back to Panama City tonight, and then we'll hope to see you again soon. But thanks again for joining us today. And thank you for listening again to Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength4thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time. I will be.